Now, one of the great questions today, as we come to 1 Corinthians 6, we'll find the answer to it here. That is, we'll find God's answer to the question of, well, civil rights. And very candidly, this chapter's a little broader than that. That's a rather narrow way of looking at it, and we want to confine our remarks to the entire spectrum of the Christian and his relation to the state. And civil rights, actually, is only a segment of a much larger subject. The Christian today is told that he has a dual citizenship, and I think it's often misconstrued by outsiders as well as believers. Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians 3:20, "For our conversation is in heaven." And the word conversation here is polychema. You want the literal of it, our politics is in heaven. And my friend, that's one place they don't seem to be today. Our politics is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that does not relieve the Christian of his responsibility to the state. The Christian has a responsibility toward each, that is, to God and to the state. Our Lord expressed it when the Herodians, you remember, pressed on him the subject of taxation. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? He said, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar." And we have a responsibility to the state, and to God the things that are God's. The Christian, I think, has a secular responsibility and a spiritual responsibility. Now, Paul defined the responsibility of the Christian to the state. He put down certain guidelines which cannot be misunderstood. Listen to him. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved come to the knowledge of the truth." We should, in a state, attempt that there be peace and that they be law-abiding and that the authorities be recognized. Why? In order that we might get the gospel out. That's the reason Paul gives to Timothy here, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. And then we've already seen in Romans, the 13th chapter, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And we're told not to resist the power, and rulers are not a terror to evil work." In other words, although the Roman government was tyrannical, they were a bunch of tyrants. Most of the emperors were. And many of them became persecutors of the church. And it is true that in the Roman government, that if you opposed it, you were in real trouble, because they could always put their hand on you and arrest you. And there's no place you could flee to. You could never escape them. So that it was a real dictatorship. But even in that, there was a freedom to preach the Word of God. And that should be the thing the Christian should have in mind, by the way. Now, we're told in Genesis 9:6, we're given there the fact that the state was ordained of God. And as far as I can tell, that's never been changed. And God put down a principle there, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." In other words, to maintain the dignity and respect for man, for humanity, why, capital punishment must be used. And I have in my possession, it came in the mail today to me from a dear lady. She's apparently a very sweet lady, but very soft-hearted. And she feels like, "Oh, I'm so terrible because I believe in capital punishment, that Jesus wouldn't do that." And she wants to know whether I'd be willing to pull the switch in the electric chair, and that very candidly, I wouldn't. That's not my job. I've been called to do something else. But I want to say this. If she's going to be safe in her home, there better be somebody willing to pull that electric switch my friend. We are in a time of lawlessness. And today, the reason is we've had soft-hearted judges, and I'm afraid some of them have been soft-headed as well. Now, the church and state were to be kept separate. The church was not to dominate the state, not to dictate to it, and the state was not to control the church or to take the place of God. In a secular society, secularism always takes the place of God. That's modern idolatry today. We find that people have put secularism in the place of God. And we find that there's a parody, and then they come out each week on the 23rd Psalm. Somebody sent me one, "Science is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we find the church today getting involved in all of this today. And yet right now, even some of the liberals, I have a quotation from one. He says, "To rebel against human law in the name of a higher law can be creative, saving the world from stagnation. But to disobey the law can also be anarchic and destructive, for too easily can men convince themselves that their opinions are those of God." And that's the opinion, I think, of a great many today, even of our statesmen. They think they speak in the place of God.